Thanks for tuning in to Men for the Win, a podcast hosted by David Kufis and Dan Thompson, two avid fans who appreciate well-played baseball, especially when it's done by the Twins. Men for the Win is sponsored by The Grand Group with Edina Realty. Are you looking to purchase a new home in the Twin Cities area? Or perhaps you're trying to sell your current home? Whether you're upsizing or downsizing, The Grand Group with Edina Realty will meet all of your housing needs. Contact The Grand Group by emailing The Gran, that's G-R-A-N, group, at edinarealty.com, or call them by phone at 612-817-8751. The Grand Group with Edina Realty, 7-time Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine Super Agent Award winners.
On this episode, David and Dan discuss the World Baseball Classic, the happenings for the Twins' 2023 spring training, and their outlook on the roster to begin the 2023 season. Thanks for listening. Enjoy. Thanks for tuning in to Men for the Win. My name is David Kufis. With me, as always, is Dan Thompson. This is our last episode, can you believe it, Dan, until we record our season opener podcast, and then there'll be baseball that matters.
This has been really fun to do more of these spring training episodes because there's so much excitement this time of year about baseball for everybody, right? Because every team has just that little bit of hope, and every year a team pops up. So this is just, it's an exciting time, David.
Yeah, a very exciting time. And I think that part of this, why we relish these episodes, is that we're very structured. So if you're new to the show, if you're just a new listener for 2023, each episode we have a pretty firm structure. We do a series recap, then we have a whole bunch of segments we run through. So here it's just freeform, Dan. We're just talking about what we want to talk about.
I know, we spent like an hour just like trying to organize our notes. We have some structure here to keep us on track, David.
We do tend to wander, Dan, if we don't have a nice list for ourselves.
Well, David, so the first thing we wanted to talk about was roster updates. There's obviously plenty always to talk about there with the jockeying, and we've seen the Twins sign extra position players, and now it seems like they're going to need them because it looks like Alex Kirilloff is not going to be ready to play first base on opening day.
Yeah, and it seemed like they were really confident, right? All this offseason after the surgery, they talked about how, oh, the timetables are great. He's really going to be ready for opening day. And now it seems like Kirilloff has actually said, hey, we need to back off a little bit on this rehab process because he's experiencing more pain. So hopefully that means that he'll only be out for a bit. But yeah, unlikely for Alex Kirilloff on opening day.
And it's so frustrating for him, I'm sure, more than us fans. You know, he's the guy who's been trying to come back and play baseball, and I'm worried about him playing at all this season. Just the fact that if this surgery really didn't work, if he's still feeling this pain, I just don't understand how it's going to go away and how it's going to be any better. Like, you hope after a surgery of any kind that the guy comes back, and once he's back, like, all right, he's ready to go, and he doesn't seem that way.
The thing is, you know it's impacting his swing, because I think if it wasn't impacting his swing, he'd just swing through the pain and he'd want to get on that roster as soon as possible.
Well,
clearly, historically, that hasn't worked out for him.
Well, that's the thing, because he had like one stretch last season where he really felt good, and he was fantastic, and then the rest of the time, he was just banging ground balls to the right side, and so it is concerning. I feel bad for him, but then, I mean, like, it's not going to be long before Royce Lewis is potentially ready, right? With a very different kind of recovery, of something that is a little bit more known, a knee injury. And I just think time's running out for Kirilloff. He's got to be healthy by the time, I don't know, late May, to be able to play and potentially be on this team for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think we either see him earlier, like you said, we probably don't see him for quite a while. But I do think that there is something to be said about a lot of these young guys, Dan, who are just knocking on the door. And there's only so many delays the Twins can put into place. And you mentioned Royce Lewis. It's interesting. So Dan Hayes at The Athletic, he had an article talking about Lewis recovery. And Lewis was saying, I really want to push it, but the team keeps slowing me down. And so in Royce's mind, he's thinking, oh, I can be back as soon as possible. Like, I'm feeling good. But the Twins are like really big about, hey, man, we got to be careful around this injury. So like what you said, that mindset is a play. Trying to come back, it's got to be a really difficult piece to overcome.
You mentioned guys knocking the door. I mean, Wallner is ready to be a major leaguer, I think, in many ways. They got Trevor Larnach, who might make this team now. They got Solano. It kind of begs a question about Gio Urshela that you had raised a couple months ago when they didn't sign him. Wouldn't Gio look pretty dang good right now on this roster?
Yeah, I think he would be a great piece to be able to move around the diamond. I'm still a little frustrated with that trade. I understand the salary dump, but my goodness, we got so little in return for him.
It just makes me wonder now, if Kirilloff can't play first regularly, are we looking at Solano and then Gallo moving to first? I mean,
mean, who else is going to play first base? Farmer, maybe? That is concerning, considering how many options they used to have, and the fact that Luis Arraez had settled in there, and then they traded him away.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of the nuclear option, I think, would be to move Miranda from third, and then put Farmer at third, and Miranda at first. But I just don't see that being the solution long-term if these injuries are going to be persistent into the season.
But here, you have an interesting note that you think they might go to a six-man rotation, and I am skeptical that the Twins really want to do this. So I think you need to flesh out that argument.
Yeah, so a couple of things. So this is not like an original argument. Like, everybody seems to be talking about the six-man rotation. There were articles on The Athletic. There were articles at Twins Daily. Everybody on Twitter has an opinion. And what's causing this problem, Dan, is Bailey Ober just won't give up hits. He refuses. Every time he's on the mound, he just refuses to give up hits. And he's forcing the Twins' hands, because can you put a guy who has proven to have success at the major league level into AAA, where you're just sort of burning up some starts that you could be using at the major league level for a team that, frankly, Dan, there are some question marks in the starting rotation. Not as far as who you want starting, but as far as the health is concerned and the durability. Like, an extra day or two of rest could go a long way if you can start the season that way.
Or are we thinking of the piggyback that we talked about so much last season? Like, does Maeda jump on Bailey Ober's back and they kind of do one game? I just don't. The problem for me is that the way that Rocco likes to work his bullpen and the way that he's so quick to go to them, to ask the more of your bullpen guys then to cover 6 days instead of five, that's where I'm skeptical, is would Rocco really let guys, if they're struggling, still go into that fifth and sixth inning? Because he would have to give the bullpen guys time to rest between outings.
That's honestly the counterpoint, right? It's the problem is you can have a six-man rotation, but early in the season, starters tend to get less deep into games, and so you are going to your bullpen earlier. Well, how do you do that if you got one less arm in the bullpen if you're going to use a traditional six-man rotation?
Especially because we've seen some of these bullpen arms not look very good in spring training here, David.
Well, that's sort of the flip side, right? Like, McGill and Pagan have both struggled mightily in spring training. Wouldn't you rather have a sixth starter going out there than having either of those guys come in just to throw away a few runs for the team?
But that's why I still like the piggyback better, because then you are saving the rest of your bullpen arms. You're not asking Alcala to come out and pitch back-to-backs, Jax, Thielbar. I mean, we saw so many guys all the way going back to Taylor Rogers' time. Remember how bad Taylor Rogers was when he had to pitch in back-to-back games? Like, it's not just a Taylor Rogers issue. And I don't want to have to see them going to Duran, going to Moran, going to Lopez any more than they are.
I don't know what to say. I don't think they're going to do the piggyback. No matter how many times we dream about it, Dan, I just don't ever see it being put into play.
There was like one game last year when they actually did the proper piggyback. It was probably involved Josh Winder. I actually don't remember now exactly what the circumstances were, but I remember being really happy that Rocco had finally
Dan put a crown on his head and danced around in excitement and claiming the genius that he was, his baseball mastermind.
It was like a Where the Wild Things Are kind of moment, right? I was, yeah.
You know, Dan, that's exactly what I was thinking about. Okay. You can tell we each have small children, yes.
Otherwise, David, I think the roster looks, pretty well set. We've got if we can run it real quick: Buxton, Correa, Miranda, Gallo, Polanco, Farmer, Kepler, Vasquez, Jeffers as backup catcher, Gordon, Taylor, Solano. We would have that extra spot available for somebody if Kirilov is not ready to go, and so I guess that's the question mark.
Yeah, if Kirilov can't go, Larnach seems like the obvious choice, but Wallner might be able to have a chance there. Julian maybe could be the surprise pick, but I do think they'll go with somebody who they've wanted to see for longer, Larnach and Wallner. And then the rotation locks, obviously, Gray, Ryan, Mally, Maeda, and Lopez. The reliever locks, Dan, this is where it gets a little bit less locky, I guess we'll say. Lopez, Thielbar, Jax, Duran, Alcala, Moran probably.
Yeah.
McGill maybe. Pagan, please no.
We can only hope that we have actually seen the last. Like, how much evidence does the Twins front office need that Emilio Pagan is actually not as good as they say that he is on paper?
I don't know, Dan, but my goodness, the way they talk about these analytics, you never know.
Like, Billy Bean would have said, like, can he throw strikes and get guys out? That's the bottom line. Can he get on base is with the batters? Can he get guys out with pitchers? That's what he does. And Pagan can't get guys out. Like, I'm so tired of them talking about, oh, it's great stuff. But people hit it. How does this make any sense?
He remake that scene with Brad Pitt going to Jonah Hill, snaps at him. he gets guys out.
We need that meme. That's my favorite internet meme, I think, by the way.
Oh, for sure. Billy, this is Emilio Pagan. He's a great pitcher on paper. The only problem is he sucks in real life.
Exactly. We need that one.
So last roster note here, Dennis Santana, he was with the Rangers. He got picked up by the Braves, and then the Twins picked him up off waivers from the Braves. He's had a pretty good spring, and he's sort of a dark horse. Shout out to Tom Froeming at Twins Daily and TF Twins on Twitter. He sort of presented that he could be a dark horse to make this team. Historically, he's struggled with walks, and he's only walked one batter so far in his six outings.
And we know that he can catch an egg. He was Garlick's buddy at the egg toss. We should have mentioned him last time, too. We just didn't think he was going to make the roster, but now he might actually be one of the guys.
I know. We didn't even know who he was. And then all of a sudden, here he is winning egg toss competitions. And if that doesn't guarantee you a spot on the roster, Dan, what does?
If you can lead the clubhouse nap, I think that would probably get a spot, too.
If you can catch an egg, you can catch a ball. It's a good segue because the Twins have been doing these short little mini documentaries about spring training, and it's called The Diamond on Twitter. Highly recommend it. I love the way they shot it, and it just sort of gets you excited for the season. They do these interviews very similar to like F1 Drive to Survive, which, as listeners of the show know, I am a big fan of. They've converted me to be an F1 fan, but they do these interviews and they show things, and they show the egg toss instructions. Rocco seemed so much like a camp counselor, Dan. In these instructions, like, you got to watch it. And you can just tell that, like, Rocco's like, yeah, he's been to a couple of church camps. I can definitely tell what Rocco has done here.
Well, speaking of Twins Media, David, our favorite broadcaster, Bally Sports North, had an update for us. They're going bankrupt, apparently.
Yeah, so this has been in the works for a while now, but now it seems pretty much confirmed that Bally Sports North, or Diamond Play Group, whatever it's called, those folks have lost all their money. Now, I don't know how you do that with how much money you've paid out to these major league teams to broadcast their regional sports teams, but they mismanaged their money. I don't know where it went. Maybe the economy's bad. I don't really know how the economy works. Like, people talk about it. Oh my God, is that like batting average? Can someone explain this to me? But so anyway, MLB has said they will make sure that these games get produced and that they have lots of experience streaming games from MLB TV. But here's the thing, MLB TV, it's not like MLB is hosting all of those streams. They just pirate the streams from the different regional sports broadcasters. But they're like, we've hired regional people who are going to present and it's going to be just as good. And it's like, well, the bar isn't that high, right? Like, right. I guess that's possible.
It's a big company. They have 14 baseball teams, 16 NBA teams, and 12 NHL teams that they do this for. And again, like you said, the product has not been great. Like, I can see why, from like a quality standpoint, like they have fallen under. This is a big issue, I would think, for baseball. And again, I don't understand how you can keep doing business when you're bankrupt, but that's another, some financier or somebody will have to come in and explain bankruptcy to us. But how does this happen?
This podcast, Dan, we can't do the economy. We can't do bankruptcy. Financial laws in general, I don't know. I tried downloading one of those investment apps and I couldn't get my bank connected. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put it under my mattress like any sane human.
It is weird. And I guess maybe this was just going to incentivize me to turn on Corey Provis on the radio and sync it with my TV and then just turn down Dick Bramer, I suppose.
Yeah, it's just getting that timing just right.
Isn't it tricky?
That can be the tricky part.
Because you don't want to know one before the other, right? You want it to be spot on.
One of the ways that I found out about sort of the delay, at least on the radio broadcast, if you're streaming through your phone, is I would go down to Twins games by myself when I was working downtown for like day games, and I'd wear headphones because I want to listen to the radio broadcast.
Sure.
Well, if you stream it through your phone, there's like a 3-second delay, and it's the worst. It's like the absolute worst. So I had to go out and buy one of these old school like AM headsets, you know, that the 80s joggers would wear. Guys are like, okay, this guy's got a problem.
I remember hearing like from, I think what would happen when I was in like middle school theater productions, there'd be dads out in the audience with those little radio listening to like playoff games and whatnot, you'd suddenly have a really big cheer in an awkward spot. It would just be because some dad heard that the Gophers won in overtime or something like that.
As Dan strikes out, his dad's standing up clapping.
Right. It was a little awkward. Anyway, David, where did we go here?
I don't know. We were off topic, Dan. We even talked about how we had a list. It was nice. But so next on the list, Dan, I'm just going to try and get us right back on track. Dan Hayes at the Athletic had a really nice article about Twins pitchers using this drive line, which is some sort of, it's like a pitching center that dives deep into analytics and looks at arm slots and spin rate and all of the different factors that go into throwing a pitch. And a bunch of the Twins pitchers have made use of this particular organization. And Dan, I got to tell you, the question that was in my mind at the end of reading that article is, who pays for that? Do the Twins pay for that? Does the pitcher get to write that off on his taxes? Or does he just say, build a clubhouse? I don't know why this stuck in my mind so much, but I really was curious.
Well, what stuck in my mind was the bit about the Airbnb that Caleb Thielbar and a couple guys stayed at where there were chickens next door and a rooster in Seattle. You can have a rooster in Seattle, David? That seems against a lot of things that I feel about Seattle. That's not very sensitive.
Well, those things are, no, my goodness, that's going to... Not sensitive?
Well, just that to your neighbors, David. Have you ever been around a rooster? They're very loud.
No, Dan, I am a city boy through and through, let me tell you.
Right, like at 4:45 in the morning.
I'm familiar with the sound roosters make, Dan. Yes, that's not really
you
a question.
Aware of that
like,
part.
Thank you for informing me. I love how Dan's like, well, he probably doesn't know what a rooster sounds like. Thank you, Dan, for condescending to me and informing me again what sound the rooster makes if my upbringing was less than stellar.
All right, can we talk about the pitching here? Because you were really into this here, and then you asked me a rhetorical question, then I asked you back, and then we kept going. So this driveline thing, so all this data about pitching.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. And if you follow, there's a couple of guys, you can search for them on Twitter. But so the people who actually run the establishment, they'll post pictures and videos of the guys working on their stuff. And it's cool to see because they do like close-ups of the hand. They show the movement of the ball. And like, I think a lot of times, especially more casual fans, they don't understand everything that goes into making a pitcher pitch well.
Mm-hmm.
And like all of the different factors that they have to take into account. So when you see the videos like that and you read these articles, it really helps you appreciate what these guys are doing on the mound to throw the ball as hard and as accurately as they do.
At the same time, like, is this just kind of like, oh, that's cool data that Joe Ryan gets to take home? Like how much do they really do with that? I'm skeptical of the actual usefulness of it. I don't know. Like, if you throw a slider 20 times in a row, like, I don't know. Just call me a little bit skeptical about the usefulness of this.
The way that Dan Hayes broke it down in the article was pretty neat. So he talked about how they'd have a guy throw, just like you said, just they throw 20 pitches of the same pitch, 4 or 5 would be better than the others. And then they'll analyze what made those 4 or 5 better and what did the pitcher do on those particular pitches. And then they try and replicate. And so they build it up trying to go from 4 or 5 out of 20 to 8 or 9 out of 20. And then their end goal, they want 90% of the times that the pitcher throws that pitch to be its highest ideal form.
I guess that is pretty cool when you put it that way. I mean, this has taken over a lot. This is taking over a lot of sports, right? There's football camps like this. There's basketball camps like this that do all of these things for all of these athletes. I guess my question is, like, at some point, is it just too much data, too much for these guys to think about? Whereas, like, Bob Gibson just went out and threw baseballs, right? And he was just really good at it. Like, is this for the guy who's not just as naturally gifted as a Nolan Ryan, a Roger Clemens? Well, he's maybe not a good example, given the lengths that he went to get better. But, like, this is like a legal way to like help those guys.
That was a very subtle better. Shot, Dan. My goodness, well done.
Thank you. Anyway, so it could be really cool. I guess maybe it's just interesting data.
Well, I think if it wasn't put into practice, like, yeah, if you're just handing guys spreadsheets, but like clearly they're working with these guys to ensure that these pitches are actually impacted by the data. It's not just the flat data and then, okay, figure out what you can do. Like, it's working in tandem because data is only as good as the interpretation of the data.
Sure.
And so if you have guys who are interpreting it correctly and then applying it to the pitchers so that they know how to execute, I don't know, Dan, the way that Rocco talked about it is he's saying that if you talked the way you talk now 10 years ago, guys would have no idea what you were talking about.
Well, and this segues actually really well into another Dan Hayes article on The Athletic. He's been doing a lot of this analytical kind of stuff with Carlos Correa and hitting coach David Popkins, who was a new guy last year and I think had a pretty good season, all things considered, as hitting coach. But I think it demonstrates just how much Popkins got the respect of the players from the way that he worked with Correa and some of these other guys to really individualize their swing.
Yeah, well, and just in the same way that driveline is using using the data and the analytics to help pitchers improve their pitches. It's the same thing these hitting coaches do. And what I found interesting in this article, particularly, Popkins doesn't look at what a hitter's doing wrong. He likes to go back and look at what a hitter is doing right, and then figuring out, why were you so successful during this stretch? And like, what's changed from then? And it's just the way that Correa talked about, hey, we're going to rebuild my swing. You know, you think about, oh, well, maybe toe tap, no toe tap, leg kick, no leg kick. How are you holding the bat? Is your elbow more up? Is it more in? You know, whatever. But like, to actually break down all of the different movements of that, it's a very particular skill set, both for the player and the guy trying to help him improve.
I think what was interesting too about this is that it reminds you that hitters go through these slumps. And it's often because of something like this, something in their swing that's just they've developed some kind of a hitch in it that wasn't right. To me, it actually kind of lends some credibility to like hot streaks and cold streaks for hitters, where there is something about that when a guy's hitting 300 over the course of a month. Like, yeah, he probably is going to do better in this other situation versus a guy, like, rather than just hoping a guy breaks out of a 1-for-21 streak. I would want to know more, like, well, what is he doing then behind the scenes to actually fix it? And I imagine for the players, it's really empowering to have a coach like Popkins, seemingly, who can help them get out of those funks.
Yeah, I mean, Popkins even said, like, you know, you tell these guys, they beat themselves up. So you got to really emphasize the good that they can do. And I think that having him as a hitting coach and having Correa talk him up as much as he had, I just think that gives sort of a feel. I mean, it's always better when you're going into something and you think you're being taught by like a guy who's legit, right? Like, it's like if you go and get LASIK and you got it out of the want ad section of the advertisement in the paper.
The want ad section? Nobody looks at the want ad section anymore, Kupis.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You wouldn't want to go to that guy.
Sure. Okay. All right.
But like, you know, as opposed to like a well-established, you know, brand that you've heard of.
Like a Google search, whatever. Right? The first result on Google. That's the one you should trust.
That's the one you know is right. But I do think that there's something that sort of gives some confidence to those younger guys going to a hitting coach because Correa has built him up as much as he has.
Well, let's move into the World Baseball Classic here, David. We should mention a couple opt-outs. So Carlos Correa had opted out because Daniela, his wife, was about to give birth to their second child, and she did. So congratulations, Correa's. Baby Kenzo is apparently, well, I don't know. I read he was healthy. So we know that as much. So congratulations to the Correas. And then Miranda also actually ended up not playing at all because of a sore right shoulder.
It does seem that he's on track for opening day, and he started some throwing, and so I think that he will be good to go for opening day. And honestly, Dan, the way that he's played in spring training so far, just from an offensive perspective, you can't leave him off the roster.
No, in fact, he made a list of the top 10 kind of standout guys, again, on The Athletic. A lot of praise from, they quote a lot of people, Derek Falvey, Thad Levine, Rocco Baldelli, just how good it is, and which is encouraging, right? Because he was a guy who came up kind of early last year. He kind of felt like he had climbed the minor league ladder pretty fast. So if he continues to take that next step and maybe even move towards being kind of an all-star third baseman, what a boon that is for this roster.
Well, and I do think there's something to be said to being moved back to your natural position at third base. And Carlos Correa called him sexy. He took off some weight, and so he'll be a little bit quicker, I think, at that hot corner.
Well, remember, I mean, these are one of the guys that Correa really kind of latched onto last year when we were kind of in that limbo phase, like, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? And it was one of the reasons we thought, well, we hope he stays because he seems to really care so much about Jose. And so good for them to be able to hopefully hold down that side of the infield for a few years here.
It's one more note here that we should make about The Athletic. So Aaron Gleeman had an article talking about sort of the next group of youngsters to come up through the Twins farm system, and how Correa had a lot of praise for the farm system. And so these guys like Miranda and Joe Ryan, who sort of made the leap last season, this whole new set of guys coming up, you got Brooks Lee and Julian and these other guys, Wallner and Larnick, like these guys are going to have an impact at the major league level. And it's just, it's cool to see that, like, it's not like, okay, well, the window is done now. The next set of youngsters to come in and fill in this roster could be just as productive as the current set.
Yeah, and it gives you hope that if Kirilov can't be counted on this year, they have some other options. And, you know, going down the road, looking Solano, Taylor maybe aren't with the team, you know, that much longer, that they do have some replacements coming.
So on to the World Baseball Classic, Dan, have you been following? Have you been watching the games? What has been your interest level in the World Baseball Classic?
You know, I've been following some. The issue that I have is that this seems so weird to be doing this, like, is this weird interlude between spring training and then like the real season. Like, I mean, I feel like teams get nervous enough, like in the NHL, when guys would go and play in the Olympics for a couple weeks mid-season. This is just asking for the possibility of injury. And don't call me, like, I think it's a cool event, and I don't know when else you would have it. It's not like you can take like the month of July off to do this World Baseball Classic. So I think it's a credit to Major League Baseball to say, yeah, go ahead, let's do this. And it's a cool thing.
I do wonder about the structure, like the pool play followed by the single elimination games. I don't think it's marketed very well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people fully understand what's happening. And I think part of that is that you have a lot of guys who have opted out who would have otherwise made teams. I was talking to a buddy, and he was explaining that some of the broadcast teams are just totally inept at understanding like what tiebreakers work in whose favor, and like they'll talk an entire game without realizing like what needed to happen for a team to move on. And it's like, okay, I feel like that's like number one, that's page one on the media booklet, should be, hey, this is what needs to happen for this team to move on. And so I think they need to market it better. They need to make sure all of the best players are included. And what if it did get to a point where it got big enough that you could do a break in the MLB season for guys to participate for like a 2-week block? And this way you do like all the teams in one spot, as opposed to this like four different locations that's currently happening.
Dang, but like, call me cynical. Are we going to start the baseball season then in mid-March? You know, the weather in March is spotty in Minnesota. I just can't imagine that drawing very well. I don't mind it. Like, I love the idea in all sports of like, you know, people playing for their country. Like, there's just something fun about that. I love the World Cup for that reason. It's like the only soccer that I watch. Do you even watch the World Cup? Is that the one bit of soccer you will watch?
Yeah, just because I like to chant USA, Dan. That's the only reason why.
But, you know, I love that players are able to do that. So if they can make it work, and this seems pretty good, but you're right, they got to advertise this better. I don't even really know half the guys on these teams, and I don't know. It's tricky.
Because it's something that the average fan isn't really going to be invested in right off the bat, you need to really work hard to make this clear what's happening.
But it's fun. And there's been, here's the thing, a lot of standout performances by Twins players.
Yeah, so we have Vasquez playing for Puerto Rico. He had a big hit today. Puerto Rico advanced out of pool play today, but he had a home run helping the cause. And then your guy, Dan, Giovanni Moran, playing for, who's he playing for?
Puerto Rico, David, he's playing for, which, by the way, he is teammates with the great Eddie Rosario, who has got, isn't that great? Eddie's got a home run. I know, it's fantastic. And Christian Vasquez, obviously. It's a fun team. It would have been fun to have Carlos Correa on that team, too. There's something about that roster that I think just feels very familiar because of Eddie and Carlos.
And then the player who hasn't made a start for the Twins during the regular season, Edward Julian, playing for Team Canada.
Yeah, he's got 7 hits and 13 at-bats, a couple home runs, a couple doubles, 5 walks, 5 strikeouts. We've read about his eye, right? That's one of the great features of him. I mean, so the fact that he's leading the Canadians, good on him, right? I mean, I would love for him to be, you know, kind of the Jose Miranda of this season, right? This guy who's really climbed quickly, who ends up being kind of a staple, because it would be nice to have another infielder that they can count on. Maybe he can play first base.
Maybe he could, Dan. It could definitely happen. But between him and Brooks Lee, there's a good chance we see one of those guys playing some decent amount of games at some point during the season.
I would think so, because here's the thing. Like, the baseball season is long. We have seen how much the Twins needed every man on that 40-man roster last season.
I don't want to push forward too quickly. I want to circle back quick to the Puerto Rico team, because there's a pitcher, Dan, who I didn't know. I'm not sure if you did. I mean, I have him on our roster sheet here as a non-roster invite. But so, De Leon, Jose De Leon, he pitched for Puerto Rico and was part of a perfect win for Puerto Rico. There's a couple of caveats here. So first of all, it was several pitchers. Second of all, it was a mercy rule win. So it's not like they're playing the best of the best here, Dan. But but he did pitch very well. He's very young. I don't think we're going to see him up with the Twins anytime soon, but it's got to be a memory that he'll remember for a long time.
But here's the thing. Like, you know how I love a perfect game, right? It's the only baseball outing that's really worth mentioning. And I don't even know what to make of this, right? Like, can't they just let him at least finish it? Like, can't they ignore the mercy rule? Were they playing Israel? I think was the team they were playing. Just let them finish the game.
I didn't even think about this angle of this discussion, Dan. So, folks, again, if you're new to the show, there's sort of this longstanding issue that Dan has, specifically with no hitters, because if it's not a perfect game, Dan doesn't care. It shouldn't be celebrated. So, Dan, what do you do with a perfect game that's not a perfect 9 innings?
I don't
know. This is just like what happened with Madison Baumgartner, right? When he when he had the perfect game, or not perfect game, what was it? It was a no-hitter because of the shortened innings or something.
Right, right. And I just think, here's where it takes me back. So David Wells threw a perfect game against the Twins in the late 90s. I think it was 99 or something like that. That Twins roster wasn't that much better than Israel's World Baseball Classic roster. Like it is this reminder that... And look at me, I'm discounting a perfect game, right? Because of the quality of the opponent. Like, that's just a cool achievement. I feel bad for hopefully De Leon will get a chance in the majors in a few years. I believe in long stories, David. I like long stories. So I'm excited in 4 or 5 years we can talk about his no-hitter with the Twins, where he really gets to go 9, and it's the real deal perfect game.
Well, here's to hoping, Dan. So a couple other notes on the World Baseball Classic. You talked about teams' hesitancy because they don't want their guys injured. Well, Freddie Freeman pulled a hamstring. They think he'll be ready for opening day, but it is noteworthy that he did not play for Team Canada today due to that injury. And then in probably a more impactful injury, just because it seems more serious, Edwin Diaz, Mets closer who with the trumpets. What's that song? I forget. I don't know. Greatest entry into a ballpark ever. But he appeared to injure himself during Puerto Rico's celebration, and he left the stadium in a wheelchair, which is just terrible. You hope that it's nothing serious, but hard not to think serious, Dan, if he's not actually walking.
I mean, even Miguel Sano, when he had his own celebration injuries, never left on a wheelchair. He always left under his own power, David.
We should have a Sano counter, I think, this season. The number of times that you bring Sano up. Maybe he'll end up somewhere, Dan. Didn't he sign somewhere? I think he signed somewhere.
The irony right now is, David, is they could use a first baseman.
Okay, one last question here for you, Dan, before we close out the episode. So imagine the World Baseball Classic gets better, okay? Just imagine sure. that. Like, all of the best players are in it. The advertising, the structure, everything is pretty much as is, but just sort of more clean, more professional, right? Would you rather win the World Series, have the Twins win the World Series, or if you're a player, though, not just a fan, because I think that fan question is a little bit easier. If you're a player, would you rather win the World Series, or would you rather win the World Baseball Classic for your country?
I mean, I think it's pretty easy. It's the World Series at this point. I think the World Baseball Classic would have to get, you know, World Cup level, right? I mean, you were talking earlier about the comparison between like club soccer versus, you know, World Cup soccer. And I don't know what the international soccer players would say. I will say this about hockey. Junior hockey players, winning the World Juniors when you're younger is a huge deal, especially in Canada. So there's something about hockey that I think is maybe closer here, like playing for your country and winning some of those. But I think any athlete's still going to say the World Series.
Yeah, I think at this point, yes. But I do hope at some point the World Baseball Classic does become as big a deal as the World Cup. And what if they do that, where they only do it every 4 years and they do take a couple of weeks out of the season, and that season baseball does something funky to work in extra games? I wouldn't put that out of the mind of baseball's current executives, because clearly they don't mind making rule changes, Dan.
No, especially mid-season, right? So they wouldn't even have to decide. They could just decide that next year in June. You know, we're going to take a couple weeks off in July. And you're right. They would have to, baseball would have to amp it up and make it a bigger deal. And then it could be really fun. And then, you know, the rest of the players kind of get a couple weeks off. Guys get to play for their country. And maybe we can start a week earlier in March and maybe just go a little deeper into the fall.
Yeah, that's all we need, Dan. More days with baseball in them.
I'm sure. I'd be all for that.
Well, of course we would. It's just sort of like, it gets to a point where it's ridiculous, where it's like, okay, well, you get 4 days off before we're back to start for next season.
I mean, a lot of these guys go down and play in fall leagues in Arizona in November, and then some of them go to South America. Or, you know, I mean, the guys are playing baseball year-round now, I think, pretty much all the time anyway.
That's true.
Well, David, before you send us out, we should mention again, you know, we've started a Patreon this season. All of our content's always going to be free. But if you want to just, if you appreciate our content, that's one of the things you can do, along with just, you know, telling friends about the podcast, sharing it, liking us, finding us on Twitter, all these different places. The more that you can spread the word, the better.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for that, Dan. A couple of production notes. The next episode, folks, will drop the day before opening day. It'll be our season prediction show. We'll talk a little bit about the schedule, what we see happening on this team. At that point, we'll know what the finalized roster will look like. Hoags will join us to give his season predictions as well. And then, Dan, it'll be real baseball time. Are you excited?
So excited. And again, I'm excited to talk about the schedule. We get to see every other Major League Baseball team play the Twins this year. I think that's one of my favorite things.
It's great. It's great. It's going to make for a fine season. Well, folks, if you like what you hear, please tell a friend. You can follow us on Twitter at Men for the Win and find our Men for the Win Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform or on YouTube so that you'll be notified when new episodes are available. If you could give us a rating or a like, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you'd like to support the show further, you can find us on Patreon. Thanks for listening, and as always, go Twins!
That'll wrap up another episode of Men for the Win, a podcast hosted by David Kuvis and Dan Thompson, two avid fans who appreciate well-played baseball, especially when it's done by the Twins. Thanks so much for listening, and as always, go Twins!